fantastic. It is wonderful to have so many people here this morning. The Lord is good. We count people because people count. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to have a look this morning at Psalm chapter 18. And we're just going to do verse 1 through 6. But before I go any further, I want to ask you, to challenge you maybe, or if you normally have a reading on a Sunday evening, to read the entirety of this psalm. We're just going to do verse 1 through 6 this morning, but this psalm is beautiful. David pours out his heart to the Lord, and I don't want to not do it justice this morning, so I'm encouraging you to go away and read Psalm chapter 18 in its entirety. So we're just going to do verse 1 through 6, and we're carrying on our series for September, which, as you all remember, is Building for Success. I felt like I had to go there first because it went a little bit awkwardly quiet for a second. Building for Success. But before we do that, let's just pray and ask the Lord that he might just open our hearts and our minds, our ears might be ready and receptive to all he's got to say. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this opportunity this morning to come together and look into your word. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to us through it. Father, that we'll be encouraged this morning. Father, we'll know our source of strength. And we pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here this morning that does not yet know you as their own personal Lord and Saviour, that your Holy Spirit might move, that lives might be changed. Our prayer, Lord God, is that people will be added to the kingdom as the gospel is preached in here and up and down the country, Lord, throughout the world, wherever your gospel is preached, Father, where the word is spoken and held to, that lives might be changed. That's our prayer this morning, Lord, we ask. All of these things we bring before you in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So last week, as I say, we started this September series, Building for Success, and we saw, or we asked the question, who or what is my cornerstone? The cornerstone of the church, as the Bible tells us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The question then for us, church, but also for us as individuals of the church, together we make the church, not the building, just the people. Amen?
Amen.
Prior to this, it was something else. Yeah, believe it or not, I know. But nevertheless, we make it a church in the sense that we are the church. If we had it outside, that'd be church. If we had it in the car park, that'd be church. If we had it down in Marshall's yard, we'd get told off. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. The question for us is, Jesus the cornerstone of my life? Am I building my life on Jesus? Am I building my friendships, family, relationships, all the things, am I building that on Jesus? And remember, we're looking to build for success, not in a worldly sense, but in a godly, spiritual sense, that I want to build for success. I want to put my life in places that are going to help me. I want to do things. I want to be involved with things that stir my affection for Jesus. Amen? That should be our motivation, that I want to reach people for Christ. But in order to do that, I've got to know who I am and whose I am. I've got to make sure that I'm rooted, firm, that I'm established in the word, so that I'm able to share with people, to love people, to care for people as God has called us to do. So are we rooted in the word? Is he the center of our lives? And we said, if we're wanting to build for success, again, not as the world sees it, but as God sees it, then we need to make sure in who, what, if you like, we're building on. The Bible tells us about the wise and the foolish builder. Something that we learn in Sunday school. For a minute, I thought somebody was on my drive, but it wasn't my Ring camera that went off. Alistair will edit that out, honestly. So who, and he won't know, who or what are we building our lives upon? And the question then, if it isn't Christ, and you can only know, only you and God know, okay? You can tell me anything. You can tell the person next to you anything. You can make people believe it almost. But who are you, who am I building my life upon? And if it isn't Christ, then adjustment needs to be made. I want to ask you today then a rhetorical question. You don't need to shout it back at me. Where do you go for help? Where do you go for help? And there might be a range of places, of course, that the world offers for all sorts of different issues, problems that we can go to. There are a range of things. But where do we go for our help as Christians? Where do we go for our help, for our refuge? Is there someone that you seek out? Maybe a friend, a maybe a family member that you've always been able to confide in. You've always been able to have those conversations, to be open and honest, to be real. Not the conversation where they go, are you all right? And you go, yeah, I'm fine. But the conversation that says, are you all right? And you go, well, to be honest, not really. It's not been a great week. To be honest, this month has been pretty poor. Where we can be real with people. And church, that's so important. You know, our challenge as individuals, as the church, is not just to meet on a Sunday and go, hi, yes, I'm fine, bye, have a nice week. But it's to be invested in each other's lives so that we're spending time listening, caring, sharing with each other so that the church is built. It's built on our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, where we help and we support and we care for each other. Maybe you've looked for some help. Maybe you've searched in all sorts of places, but never really found anywhere or anyone where you can just be you. And sometimes we think, well, how can I be me? Because people will see me. And I look at me and I don't like what I see. So then other people are going to think exactly the same, if not worse. So we can find ourselves in a spiral, a downward spiral, where we don't know where to go. Because the reality is that life isn't always easy. We're not floating about trouble-free or worry-free. We don't have days where we don't fear for something. The reality is it's quite the opposite. Every day usually has its own worry. And of course, if we're not careful, they can build up. I don't deal with Monday's problems, they become Tuesday's starting point. And if I don't deal with Monday and Tuesday's issues, Wednesday looks a long way off from the weekend. And it's supposed to be hump day, in the sense that it's on a downward trajectory, we're ready for Sunday. But Wednesday's grim if you've got Monday and Tuesday's issues. Thursday doesn't get any better. And before we know it, if we're not careful, that something that wasn't anything has now become a major problem, and now it's a stumbling block, and now I can't get over it, now I don't know where to turn, and now I'm in a right mess. King David of Israel, before he was actually king, when Samuel had anointed him from God's direction and instruction, David was, well, he was quite troubled. There were moments in David's life before he became king of Israel where he was fearful for his life. Often we have bad days, but we don't always fear for our life. David was fearful for his life because the current king, Saul, was after him. Why would King Saul want another king to be anointed king when he's still king? I'd have a problem with that. Anybody else? Oh, you're all so holy. Now, we'd be in a moment where we see Saul not just once, not twice, but several times. If you look through scripture, you'll see where Saul is literally after blood. And David specifically. And you think, David, you know, God, you've anointed me as the future king of Israel. You picked me out of a field in the middle of nowhere. And now I've got all this trouble. Prior to that, my life was sheep, harp, and grass. Not a bad life. Apparently the harp is one of the most difficult instruments to play. Never tried. Anyway, I digress. But David must think, you know, surely God, if you've pulled me to this new life, you've called me out for this new life, everything should be, in the words of modern English, mint. Everything should be brilliant. So why isn't it? And there are, in that moment, there's a decision to make. Because we can either kick off and go, God, this is not acceptable. You're not holding up your side of the bargain. Because you promised me everything would be perfect. Ooh. If you do find that verse, let me know. But I do remember Jesus saying, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So, okay, in this world there's going to be difficulty. Okay, well that feels like you're telling me that that's a definite. Not, you remember there's no might or maybe, or there's a possibility that there may be an odd issue, usually on a Monday. But he actually specifically says, in this world you will have trouble. But we've got to look past that. Because take heart, because I've overcome the world. Take heart, rooted and established, so that when the storm comes, we're able to stand. Because we've built church for success. We're ready and able because of what we've allowed the Word, allowed the Holy Spirit, allowed God to do in our lives. David used to feel safe. And no longer does he feel safe. David used to have a circle of friends that he could confide in, I'm sure. Probably Shaun the Sheep and his mates. David had people that he could confide in. But do you think that King Saul's not paid all of his friends to say, when you see David, let me know? Of course he has. I would. Oh, it's just me. Wow. Of course he's paid his friends. When you see David, let me know, okay? David has no circle of friends anymore. He is on his own. He's out on a limb. So surely, surely to goodness, David is kicking off. Because you lot would. Because I would. Listen to what he says. Psalm 18, verse 1. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. And the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. David, that is wisdom and faith beyond what I'm able to comprehend. Saul is after your life. God has put you into this scenario. And all you do is praise him. All you do is thank him. All you do is say he's worthy of my praise and my adoration. All you do is say how good he is. David in this psalm pours out his heart, which is filled with praise for God, who actually, as we'll see, has not faltered. He has held up his promise. David, you will be king of Israel. Saul, I've asked to anoint you. Samuel, I've asked to anoint you. You will be king of Israel. But what has he got to do in that moment between? He's got to trust. He's got to have faith that God's in control. It's not dissimilar to us, is it? I have called you out of darkness into light, is what the word says about you and me as believers. Lord, so why isn't everything beautiful? Surely it should be. One day, I will see my Saviour face to face, because that is what the Word tells me. One day I will be in glory, worshipping Him forever, who is worthy of praise. But in this world, I will have trouble. And the faith comes in, the trust comes in, the faith in action comes in, that I go, I'm going to take heart because He has overcome the world. David is showing us here a foreshadowing of what we have got in the Lord Jesus Christ, our inheritance, that one day we will be in glory with Him. Eternal life as Christians isn't something that we're going to get, it's something that we already have. This is dropping to pieces. I know you might not think it. Wow. Say it right first time, else it loses its effect. All right? But this is dropping to pieces. But the bit that makes me, the Word says, is being renewed day by day. I'm going to see my Saviour face to face. Heaven is my home. Wow, Matt, that's a bold statement from the front. How can you be sure? I can be certain because it doesn't depend on me. That's how I know. Because it doesn't depend on me, what I can do, what I can achieve. It depends solely on what Christ has already done. Amen? That He has defeated sin and death. And I will see my Saviour face to face because I've put my faith and my trust in Him. I've said, Lord, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. Please come into my heart and change me from the inside out. Lord, I know that there is no way that I can earn or pay for my salvation. I can't get back to You. I'm not good enough. Thank You for Jesus. Amen? Thank You for Jesus, that because of His blood, because of His sacrifice, because He has conquered sin and He's conquered death, that in and through Him I have life and life eternal. Church, that's the gospel. That's the good news about Jesus Christ. And if you've never heard that before, let me tell you that is truth, that this Word, this Bible I have in front of me, will tell you all about it. Go and read the book of John and see the person of Jesus. See this God-man who gave His life for you. The grave couldn't hold Him. And He is raised from death and seated at the right hand of the Father. And David here shows us in the few verses after the moment of just absolute wonder at who God is. He goes on in verse 3, 4 and 5 to show us how God has rescued him. He says, I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. He says, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help, and from His temple He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears. God is attentive to you. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, help. Lord, help. The first step seems the most difficult. But listen, as we just understand what David is saying here, in the moments of his greatest trouble, fearing for his life, he felt God's hand upon him. He felt safety in His presence. It's clear here in this psalm that David knows exactly where to turn. His acknowledgement of God and His provision shows us quite clearly. David says in verse 1, I love You, Lord, my strength. In his love and his praise, he tells us where he looks for his strength. He looks to God. He says, I love You, Lord, my God. You are my strength. What I like the best about that is that David doesn't just sort of say just the first thing that comes to his mind. He says what's on his heart. And knowing, as he declares it, that God is there, ready to fight with him. David doesn't say, God, You are Lord, my strength, but what I'm going to do is take this battle on by myself. You stay there. I've got this. He's really clear. He says, God, You are my Lord and my God, You're my strength, and I'm going to go through this and you are going to fight for me. He says it and he shows it in verse 2 that this is his declaration. You're my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He says, I know where to go. I know where to go. It's in his presence. That's where to go. That's my stronghold. That's my fortress. That's where I'm going to go when it's difficult. That's where I'm going to go when it's really good. That's where I'm going to go when everything seems impossible. That's where I'm going to go because I know that God is fighting for me. Amen? I know that he is fighting for me. I know that he's in control. It's a trust thing, isn't it? Faith in action. This battle, Lord, that I'm facing is not mine. It's ours. And thank you, God, that you are going to beat it. Thank you, God, that you're in control. Thank you, God, that I have an absolute joy that says one day I'll see my Saviour face to face. Lord, I'm going to need your help because it seems a long way off and there's a lot of trouble. And we have to have faith in action. Trusting him with all of it is a whole other thing to just bringing it to him. And that, I think, church, is our challenge this morning from this passage. That I don't just bring it to the Lord and then take it back. That I bring it to him and I leave it with him. And I spend time with him and we deal with it together. And he tells me the next steps. He shows me through his word. He speaks to me through the things that I'm listening to because I'm filling my life, remember, with things that stir my affection for Jesus because we're building for success. So I'm able to take on Monday. I'm able to take on Tuesday. Not in my strength, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? That I can do it because I know that God's already there. I can tackle it because God's in control. I can face tomorrow because I know he's with me. So Lord, I'm not just going to let you know and try and attempt to deal with it myself. But Lord, I'm going to make sure that I bring it and we work on it together. Lord, show me. Help me. And we need to check our own lives. We need to make sure that we're doing that, church. That's my challenge to you today. Not just to read it and go, well, that applies to everybody else in there. No, it's to you. This message is for you. It's for you to say, God, am I making sure that firstly that you're my cornerstone? Lord, am I making sure that you're my fortress, my stronghold? Lord, am I making sure that I know that I'm leaving things with you, that we're working on it together and I'm not trying to do it in my own strength, but Lord, I'm doing it in yours. This is our challenge, church. You see, David knew his cornerstone, his rock. David knew his fortress, but it doesn't end there. The stronghold was good. The stronghold is good. And God has victory. And he also tells us, David says, he is my deliverer. He's not just a place where I go and I sort of cower for a little bit and then I have to come out and hope everything's passed over. No, it says he is my stronghold, my fortress, my deliverer. Amen? He has done what needed to be done. He is with him, his strength, his stronghold, his refuge, his fortress. What wisdom, church, we have here in the word this morning. The question is, do we come to God as our hiding place, our fortress? Do we trust as David trusted, believing that God is fighting for him, assured that everything is in God's hands.